How I was nearly scammed and why I survived it. My entertaining but dangerous adventure. I received a phone call from a gentleman named Johannes. He offered me an opportunity for training students from Zambia. Kenneth, a businessman from Zambia, will bring students to South Africa. He asked if we could meet. Johannes and I met in a coffee shop. I didn't order anything while I was waiting for him. He phoned me to let me know that he was running 15 minutes late. When Johannes arrived, he didn't order anything. The little voice in my head said, "That's odd." We looked at my manuals. Then Johannes said, "Kenneth is a businessman from Zambia. He imports agricultural goods like animal hides and ostrich skin products and semi-precious stones into South Africa. It is all legal." I'm laughing inside because he doesn't know that I'm a vegetarian. The little voice inside me told again, "How odd that he keeps on harping on the legality of the business." "We want you to be the pretended buyer," Johanna said. "We will sell these semi-precious stones to someone else and we will share the profit. I want you to do this because the previous lady, a doctor, has moved to the UK just before lockdown and I want you to take her place." Whenever I asked him how he found me, he was rather vague. "That's weird." I steered the conversation back to the training. "Who will I be training?" I asked. "They are children aged between 4 and 6, Johannes answered. This little voice said again, "This is odd to bring these young children to South Africa for me to train them." I mentioned that it would make way more sense if I would train the teachers, and Johannes agreed. Johannes wanted me to meet Kenneth, who stayed at the Michelangelo Hotel in Sandton. We were to meet the next morning at 8:30, which was a Saturday. I said yes, but I felt uncomfortable. I cancelled. Johannes said that he will get Chris, his nephew, to phone me as his English was better. Chris persuaded me to meet with Kenneth on Monday morning at 10:30 at the Mandela Square in Johannesburg. "Chris, I want to talk about the training. I'm not interested in being involved with these semi-precious stones," I said. Johannes suggested that we would meet at the Michelangelo Hotel. Then when I went there, it was closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The voice said inside, "This is odd. They told me Kenneth was staying here and this hotel is closed." I met with Chris and Johannes before Kenneth arrived. We ordered something to drink. We spoke about the training and then the discussion was back on the stones. They explained what they wanted me to say to Kenneth. When Kenneth arrived, he showed me some pictures of his products and he showed me the copy of the invoice that he had used to import the goods. The stones were on there. "This is odd. The invoice means nothing. Where's the import permit? And there's no price listed for these stones." He gave me 2 of the Tsavarite stones. They were quite big, but I don't know much about them. I'd actually never heard of Tsavarite. The waiter came so we could pay. I was waiting for them to pay. Then Chris said, "I only have dollars with me. Would you mind paying?" This is super suspect. I should have told him that he can give some of his dollars to me and I will pay. But I didn't. And I paid because it wasn't too much. "Can you come along to show the stones to our potential buyer? He's in Northcliffe Shopping Center. Can we go in your car?" Chris asked. We stopped at the back of the shopping center. "Please wait here. I have to organize a few things," Chris said. 5 minutes later, we walked into a back alley entrance where I was introduced to a big Afrikaans guy. "I can only pay 280,000 rand for these stones," he said. "I cannot give money now, but we can meet in 4 hours' time." I thought. I feel there's too much secrecy going on here. Something is not kosher. We were to go back to Kenneth and finish the deal later. My uncomfortable level had been going up the whole time. So I said, it's 12 o'clock now. I must be home at 2 because I have an appointment with clients. The truth was that I had to be home by 4, but I didn't want to be sucked into this any further. We still had to meet with Kenneth to return the stones. When we see Kenneth, I want you to negotiate the price for these stones with him. Ask him how much he wants for the stones first. We want to pay maximum of 140,000 rand for them. We need a good profit and you will get 30% of the profit, Chris said. This would mean that I would get about 40,000 rand and I could really use that money. Business had been so quiet. I was tempted. Then the little voice said, why would they want to pay me, a stranger to them, so much money? I'm just driving them around. It is starting to look like a movie. Just before I dropped Chris off, he said, you can see now how much money you will get tomorrow. Do you have 700 rand for me now? I said, no, but I'm sure you can exchange some of the dollars that you have with someone. The voice said inside, this is definitely reeking of a scam because now he's asking me for money. Why did I survive it? I drove home and asked some friends for advice and they all warned me. I also looked up Tsevorite and it looked a little different from what they had shown me. My subconscious mind had given me so many warning signs. My conscious mind had tried to rationalize them away because I really could use that money. As a last test, I had asked them of the phone number and the email address of the lady who had moved to the UK. They couldn't give that to me, and this is when I left them a message and told them that I don't want to be involved with the stones, I only want to do the training. Was it a scam? The chances are that it was. I will never know for sure, but I wasn't prepared to go any further. The power of the subconscious mind. Our subconscious mind absorbs 1 million times more information than our conscious mind. It picks up all these little things that don't add up and it whispers in our ear. And if we're desperate enough, we will try to rationalize these warning signs away. The more something is rushed, the bigger the chances that our FOMO, fear of missing out, will override the warning signs. The moral of the story. It is important that we are in touch with our subconscious mind. It can save us. The problem is that many people don't trust their subconscious. Why? One, because many times we're taught not to listen to it. And secondly, there are many times it also tells us lies like, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you're a failure, etc. When we learn to differentiate between the lies and the truths, dished up by the subconscious, it becomes a great ally. This ally is there to help us to create the life we want. Why did I survive the scary adventure? Because I trusted my subconscious and I wasn't desperate enough for the money. Do you feel desperate, stuck, frustrated, or even powerless? Do you want to make a change in your life? If yes, it's time to plant the happy ever after seeds for 2021. Do you want to create a great 2021? Then book a once-off free 45-minute introduction coaching session with me. What will you get? You will identify what you want to focus on in 2021. You'll have clarity on how you could possibly slow yourself down or even block yourself. And you'll have a new clarity and enthusiasm for the year ahead. So if you click on the button in this blog or in this newsletter, you can book your free introduction session with me now so that you can finish 2020 strong and start 2021 with a flying start.